We're talking about dignity. We're talking about self-respect. We're saying that unity is the way to get it. Don't tell me that times are tough. You know that I've heard that stuff. This union ain't gonna bust. You can just forget it. They tell you to tighten up your belt. That's what we need. We're lean and mean and something's got to go. Well, if they want to do away with waste and greed, don't tell the union, tell the CEO. We're talking about dignity. We're talking about self-respect. We're saying that unity is the way to get it. Don't tell me that times are tough. You know that I've heard that stuff. This union ain't gonna bust. You can just forget it.
This is a Building Bridges, your Community and Labor Report special. I'm Ken Nash.
And I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
Unity is the way to get it. Don't tell me that times are tough. You know that I've heard that stuff. This union ain't gonna bust. You can just forget it. Don't tell me that times are tough. You know that I've heard that stuff. This union ain't gonna bust. You can just forget it.
Charlie King and Karen Barlow. Why in the world is New York University's union busting so disgusting? And it is.
Union busting is always disgusting.
Totally.
Okay.
But we're going to get very specific about our sisters and brothers, 1,000 NYU teaching and research assistants, members of the Graduate Student Organizing Committee, UAW Local 2110, who walked out and are on picket lines instead of teaching and grading papers because the university has refused to negotiate a second contract, rescinded recognition of their union, and cut their health benefits. Union busting is disgusting. And with us to talk about that now is Jenny Shaw, Graduate Research Assistant and member of GSOC, UAW Local 2110 Bargaining Committee, and Mayabi Chatterjee, Graduate Teaching Assistant and member, similarly, of the Organizing Committee of GSOC, UAW Local 2110. I want you to remember that. And Professor Gordon Laffer, University of Oregon. We'll figure that one out. Labor Education and Research Center. And welcome to our studios, all of you. Wait a minute, Oregon, how did you get into the mix?
I'm a professor of labor studies, and I'm here in the city for the year. So
wait a minute, we really are building some bridges.
But let's start with the workers here, and I emphasize the workers, because I think that New York University is saying in this context that you're not workers. So Jenny, Mia B, tell us what you do as workers at New York University. Who wants to go first?
I'll go ahead. This is Maya B. As teaching assistant and research assistants, we do a various number of things for the university. We grade papers, as was mentioned. We run discussion sections, labs. We counsel and advise students. We sometimes do clerical and office work for our faculty bosses. We sometimes teach classes. In fact, some graduate and teaching assistants teach classes 5 days a week, all throughout their time at the university.
And I'd just add to that I'm actually a research assistant this year, which is a little bit different. I work for a faculty member. I help her with her research, but I also do a lot of office and technical work for her as well. But I have been in the classroom for the last couple of years. And I'd just like to echo what Maybe has said. When you stand up in front of a class of students and you're educating them, when you're grading their papers, when you're counseling them, not just about why they got the grade they got, but, you know, about why they're not feeling particularly well that week, that's really work that we're doing. And we're the primary contact for most undergraduates at NYU.
So if John Sexton, the head of NYU, is listening, so there.
Oh, there's many other things we can address to Mr. Sexton. But, you know, I still don't get it. A university, humanities, higher learning, sensitivities for the future. Gordon, what's going on here? Because actually, it isn't just relegated to NYU. All over the country, you have student workers teaching. These particular people had a contract. What in the world is going on in our institutions of higher learning that they are so backward and unempathetic to their working staff?
Well, it is something that's going on all over the country, and I think that's part of the reason why so many academics all over the country are watching what's happening at NYU, and so many people from around the Northeast have come to Washington Square to support the people on strike at NYU. What has forced the strike is that universities are downsizing like other industries. The way a supermarket downsizes is they get rid of permanent workers and have the work done by part-timers and temps. The way a university downsizes is they get rid of regular faculty and they have the work done by graduate students and adjuncts. That's happening all over the country. And I think that part of what the strike at NYU is about is to get respect for the graduate students for the work they do. And part of what it's about is to save the academy, to have real teaching done by people who have academic freedom and protection.
Now, Jenny and Maya B., we established that you're workers, but then the question is, why do you need a union? I mean, the university is going to be fair to you, right? I mean, they're going to set up some kind of procedure in case you're fired or
when
something.
When did you start getting into this devil's advocate? Come on, be the labor advocate that you are, Ken Nash.
You spoil the whole thing. Yeah, okay, why do you need a union? People will still say you don't need a union.
Right. It's an important question, and we need
Thank
a union.
You. Did I get an A on that?
And it's one I think that any worker can understand. We want to have a say in our working conditions, right? And so what we're seeing is a pushback on the part of the administration, refusing to negotiate with us, refusing to give us a voice in the university proceedings. And we've elected the union as our representative, and we would like to see that union negotiate for us so that we have a way to make our working conditions better year after year, rather than having the administration say with impunity how our benefits are going to change, how our stipends are going to change, how the university is going to be run and how that'll affect us. Rather than having that come from above with no power on our side, we'd like to have some say in that.
Well, you know, one of the things is there was a union.
Well, there still is a union.
There still is a union. Thank you. You're absolutely right.
There's
and
a contract.
Precisely. And there was a contract, and now is the renewal. And so we're getting more constricted, more rigid. The NLRB, that's one thing, the National Labor Relations Board, but the institution itself, why have they become so recalcitrant? Why have they backtracked? Now, I know what you said, Gordon, about this, certainly the downsizing, and, you know, we have the kind of white-collar sweated labor today, but I'm still not sure that I really understand a wealthy institution like NYU. It's got one of the highest tuitions in the country. As a matter of fact, I just pulled out, where is my New York Times today? They were talking about the salaries of presidents. Well, I'm going to grab that for the next question. I'm going to pull that out of my bag, but what in the world is going on? I mean, we're talking about health benefits. You've already gone this far. Why the backtracking?
I'd like just to think that the backtracking is actually very much tied into the NLRB decision. And it seems to me that NYU is choosing to hide behind that. There's nothing in that decision that suggests that they can't freely agree to negotiate with us. And honestly, I think it's all about power and who holds the power. The majority of graduate working assistants at NYU have demonstrated time and again that the way they want to be represented is by Local 2110. And I quite frankly find it disgusting that John Sexton and the NYU administration think that they know what is better for us than we do. This is not some handful of people who are deciding they want this. This is the majority of graduate workers at NYU asking for this. And like Maybe said, it's about power. It's about who gets to control how the university is run. And all we're asking for is a voice in that.
And we should mention specifically what the NLRB decision was. And just to recapitulate for a moment, the college leaders' earnings top $1 million. A pay milestone is reached for private institutions. Good gracious. One person actually just retired in a Catholic school for women in Boca Raton with a $5 million package. Union busting is disgusting.
But they're looking at themselves as corporations, and that's bupkis compared to
true.
So, but Gordon,
I just wanted the thing of the NLRB decision, since we've mentioned that, and we haven't discussed what it is.
Basically, what John Sexton is doing is piggybacking on a highly political decision made by the Bush administration's labor board that reversed a decision that the Clinton board made. And Bush has said, oh, all of the work that PhD candidates do when they're in the classroom is really part of their own education, and so they don't have they're not considered employees under the National Labor Relations Act. Anybody who spent any time working in a university, I think, would find that decision absurd to just read through it and compare it to what you know in day-to-day life. And as one of the organizers said, it does not say that it's illegal for NYU to recognize or to negotiate in good faith with the union. It just says they don't have to. And John Sexton has said, well, because Bush says I don't have to, I'm not gonna.
Let's just piggyback on that in terms of the significance beyond NYU of this struggle, because there are other graduate teaching assistants, there are other graduate research assistants throughout the country. Gordon, I know you've had some experience at Yale, you've done some studies. How does this impact what's going on throughout the country in terms of unionization of these academic workers?
The law is different in the public and private sectors. At University of Oregon, where I am, there's been a union representing graduate teachers for 30 years, and it's totally uncontroversial. NYU is the first private sector university to win recognition in the country. It was a very important victory that the union here won, and it's a very important fight going on now to push the respect for graduate teachers or a little bit of democratization of university in private sector universities across the country. And that's why so many people are paying attention to it.
Ken and I are going to have a discussion about what constitutes bupkis.
But not on air, I don't think.
I mean, I'm sorry, my brother, but it may be de minimis compared to the Enron salaries, but good gracious, what an obscenity. But, you know, I also wanted to bring up another issue, which if you weren't angry enough at NYU, and you should be, one of the things that really hit me is that professors who were speaking out on the picket lines on behalf of the striking graduate employees to protest the violations of academic freedom and so on, have discovered that there is something called the Blackboard class websites, and it has been infiltrated. And I wanted to get to that because the extremes on all levels, economically and politically, that NYU will go through to bust, to quash free speech, etc., should be known by our audience.
Yes, I think that especially the audience, I'm sure, knows that NYU relies on maintaining a benevolent image in downtown New York and in New York City in general. It likes to think of itself as a very liberal, cosmopolitan university that employs thousands of people. And that image is really belied by what's happening here. We have faculty voice and autonomy being disrupted here by administrators infiltrating their websites that they run for their classes. And faculty have been extremely outraged by this move and are not taking it. They immediately caused an uproar.
What do you mean infiltrating?
What happened is that many faculty use a thing called Blackboard to run websites for their classes. And then a couple of perceptive faculty members found last week, right after the strike started, that there were administrators added onto their websites so that the administrators now had the power to change the website, surveil what was going on, see who was posting things and who was not. And in essence, this was probably a part of a move for administrators to know who was striking, who is not, and probably to involve some replacement labor in classes where graduate assistants are striking.
And I think I'd just like to add to that, that it's really ridiculous that instead of dealing with the labor issue, which is that we want a second contract, NYU chooses to go and surveil their faculty instead. It seems entirely at odds with what's going on. I don't know if they were trying to pull some bait and switch or distract from the real situation, but it certainly has backfired on them because faculty are in uproar over this. They are extremely angry.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get to, not only in terms of this instance, but also how much faculty support there is for the strike. So Gordon, have you been talking to the faculty? What have they been doing?
I have been talking to faculty here. There's a tremendous amount of faculty support for the union at NYU, both people coming out on picket lines, acts of individual support, but also hundreds of faculty signing statements of support for the union, signing statements calling into question their confidence in John Sexton. And also, I think one of the most important things is many, many departments have passed resolutions saying faculty will not scab on their graduate students and they won't rat them out to administrators. And, you know, as a professor, you get told all the time that your job is to mentor graduate students and be supportive of them until there's a strike. And then the administration comes to you and says your job now is to be a thug and a strike breaker and to police them and to surveil them and to report on who's doing what. You know, it's really remarkable and admirable that so many NYU faculty have insisted on maintaining what is supposed to be the role of faculty, which is support of graduate students and not ratting them out or intimidating them.
And this is an opportunity to debunk some of the mythology perpetrated by Mr. Sexton. $50,000 a year for graduate students. Oxford Health Plan, I dare say, top shelf there. And Just endless child care support and grievance procedures and workplace democracy. And what is the reality of your lives economically and your work responsibilities? And let's tell John Sexton, because maybe he doesn't pay enough attention to know what the reality is.
He needs a labor studies 101 class. Gordon, can you teach that to
him? That may be the answer.
Maybe you should ask his teaching assistant what she makes every year.
So,
to contextualize, President Sexton has been saying to the university committee and to the press that graduate assistants at NYU get a package that is valued at $50,000 or more. And that really needs to be broken down, because I, as a teaching assistant, do not take home anywhere near that amount of money. My stipend per year is $19,000, and after taxes, that is quite a bit less.
For how many hours of work? Roughly?
Well, part of our work is our own academic research and labor. Part of it is taking classes on our own, and then part of it is the work that we are paid to do. So the what was really great about our previous contract that we had for the past 4 years is that it made it clear that the work that we are paid to do should be 20 hours a week and no more, because the other half of our labor should be going into our academic work so that we can receive our degrees and leave the university. So that $50,000 comes from the fact that PhD students in the U.S. All across the country, at public and private universities, almost everyone receives tuition remission, which means that the university pays for the tuition of PhD students. In return, we do labor for the university. On top of our classes and our own research, we provide the labor of being teaching assistants, graduate assistants, research assistants. And at NYU, we have a stipend on top of the tuition remission. And the reason the stipend is as strong as it is right now is because we had a contract for the past 4 years with Local 2110.
And Jenny, you look disruptive, like a troublemaker, controlled by mysterious and ill-meaning auto workers interfering with education and portraying grievances as unwarranted and petty complaints.
She does, doesn't she?
She does.
Yeah.
This looks like a very unruly
group. Yeah, I get that
a lot. And I have to say that I'm in the UAW, so I take this very personally.
Well, you do also.
So this is some of the propaganda that Mr. Sexton is similarly putting out when you look at people who are striving to live a better life, do their work with some modest degree of grievance protection and work and condition protection. What do you say to Mr. Sexton in response to all this?
I think I'd like to start by saying that I am a member of the UAW and I'm extremely proud of that membership.
So take that, Mr. Sexton.
Yeah, I find it frankly disgusting that he's trying to draw some sort of, that there's something that we should see as being inherently bad about being in the UAW. It's a fantastic union organization. We are part of Local 2110, which is a technical and professional local. It has, among other people in there, the MoMA workers are in there, Columbia University, the Village Voice, New York Historical Society, and so forth.
The Legal Aid Society, yeah. Lawyers. Well, that may not be the best, but...
So that's the first thing I'd like to say. The second thing about grievance procedures is that yes, we do need an independent grievance procedure. And John Sexton likes to characterize the grievances that we brought as being about academic decision making. They weren't. They were about equal pay for equal labor. Plain and simple. We never tried to tell NYU who should or shouldn't be hired. And every grievance that was brought to the local by a graduate assistant who felt that they were being treated unfairly, either in terms of pay or sometimes in terms of working conditions, like mold growing on the roof of the lab or something like that. So it was about health and safety. It was about pay. And the final thing I'd like to say about the grievance procedure is that John Sexton and the NYU administration have made much of this sort of company union that they're trying to offer as an alternative. With a grievance procedure that's supposed to be in place. But the person who makes the ultimate decision is the provost of NYU. And I'm sorry, but I don't have much faith in him being, and it is a he, being independent when it comes to making decisions about whether NYU has acted badly towards its graduate employees. And the final thing is that healthcare is really important for us. It is part of our package, and after our first contract ran out, they cut our healthcare. So I don't think that we can take any promises that the NYU administration makes in good faith at all.
So what is this town hall meeting on Wednesday? Who knows about this?
I know a little about this, but so does Heidi. I think we probably all do. We're very excited about it.
Chorus, kind of like a Greek chorus there. We're going to start with Maya B. We'll get it.
Okay. Well, every day we're picketing now that the strike has started, and we're picketing outside of the main library on NYU's campus, Bobst Library, on Washington Square South. Every day from 8 a.m. to 5:15 p.m. And in addition, we're going to be doing lots of different events to mobilize various members of our community. And on this coming Wednesday at 12:30, there is going to be a town hall meeting for people who want to talk about the issues and learn more about what's going on. Because, you know, as we've been talking about in this program, there are a lot of misconceptions, a lot of misinformation floating around. But really, what we would like to ask of the listeners out there who may want to support us, hopefully, is that our picket lines are up every single day, and it helps so much when we have supporters coming from outside of the university to support us and walk the picket line with us. And so if people can come out, especially during their lunch hours, if you work downtown, it's so great to have people come and join in. And so outside of Bobst Library, which is the big orange building on Washington Square South, you will see picketers every single day. But Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5:15 p.m., rain or shine, we'll be out there. And so we would love to have your support.
You know, Gordon, it may seem a little, we introduced a little levity here, but, you know, I mean, Sexton's really been remarkable. He's been really vulgar in his expletives relevant to the workers. He really does portray grievances as petty complaints. What does all this mean, looking at you are a labor educator? What does it mean to educate people to understand the issues of the working class? And why are these graduate teaching assistants part of the working class? Our collective responsibility to make sure that workers who do create all that the university and other structures are have these demands met.
First of all, I think people sometimes get confused because they hear graduate student union and they just think of students. And they say, oh, $19,000 a year to be a student sounds nice, right? And if you think of what the work that school teachers do in elementary school or high school, everything that a high school teacher does, a teacher in college does. They grade papers, they prepare lesson plans, they teach classes, they have office hours, all of that same work. I don't think anybody obviously has any problem thinking that the work that high school teachers do is work, and the fact that high school teachers in New York are unionized is not a big shocking thing. And it's really the same thing with PhD candidates who are teaching in classes. But I think there's also a stake in it, not just for them, but for everybody who relies on higher education and wants to go themselves or to send their kids to a place where they can learn with teachers who work under respectable conditions that enable them to be good teachers.
We need to have one chorus. If there was one message we wanted to send to John Sexton, it would be, union busting is disgusting. Well, somebody else made another joke. But
I've got his telephone number here.
We're going to give that. All so right. What do we want to tell John Sexton?
Union busting is disgusting.
So
is he.
And where can people call to tell Mr. Sexton that, number one, and what we can do quickly to support your aspirations towards the maintenance of your union and a contract.
Okay, great. You can contact Mr. Sexton and tell him to negotiate now with Local 2110 at 212-998-2345. That's 212-998-2345. And John Sexton's email is john.sexton, S-E-X-T-O-N, at nyu.edu. I'm sure he'd love to hear from you.
And we're going to tell him again what?
Union busting is disgusting.
If you want to know more about us, it's www.2110uaw.org/GSOC.
Do that one more time. 21.
www.2110uaw.org/GSOC.
Jenny Shaw, Maya B. Chatterjee, and Professor Gordon Laffer, thank you for being with us. You take that, John Sexton. It's disgusting. Don't you try to break any unions in New York. We'll see you on the picket line.
We're talking about dignity.
Charlie King and Karen Barlow.
We're saying that unity is the way to get it. Don't tell me that times are tough. You know that I've heard that stuff. This union ain't gonna bust. You can just forget it.
And this has been a Building Bridges, your Community and Labor Report special, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. And for more labor news and views, go to www.buildingbridgesradio.org. That's www.buildingbridgesradio.org for archived Building Bridges national labor shows.
We're talking about dignity. We're talking about self-respect. We're saying that unity is the way to get it. Don't tell me that times are tough. You know that I've heard that stuff. This union ain't gonna bust. You can just forget it. Don't tell me that times are tough. You know that I've heard that stuff. This union ain't gonna bust. You can just forget it.